All right, folks, today we're going to do a comparison of the Zeiss SFL 10x40s against the Zeiss Victory SF 10x42s. Now, a little bit of context before we get into that. First and foremost, I want to give a shout out to Robbie Denning. He was the one who actually lent me this pair of binoculars. I had him on the podcast. I mentioned a lot of people had been interested in me doing a review on these. And a week later, they showed up at my house with a note, you know, return them when you're done. So just what a stand-up dude. Can't thank him enough for the opportunity. It's really challenging to put your hands on quality glass for reviews. So Robbie, thank you very much. Now, a second note in regards to Robbie, I'm going to basically be putting these binoculars up against the Zeiss SF 10x42s. Robbie has done a phenomenal review putting these up against the 10x32s, the Victory 10x32s. So if you want to look at that review, I will put a link down in the description below. You can go read it on Rockslide. They've got lots of great reviews, and Robbie does a really good job of kind of a blend of a really technical review with kind of real world insights. The other thing that I will mention is that I'm going to try and keep this one a little bit shorter. Now, it'll still be long by most YouTube gear review standards, but I'm not going to dive into my typical hour-long breaking down the components of, you know, the glass and the coatings and all that kind of stuff. If you want a deeper dive into the technical aspects of binoculars and what I tend to look at in reviews, go click this link right here and you can watch my 10x42 comparison where I looked at six different pairs of binoculars. And I will make a couple references to that video during this one that if you want more clarification or you're curious about getting some more in-depth information, that is a great resource. But I'm going to try and give you more of my subjective experience with these binoculars compared to some other binoculars while cross-referencing some of the comparable data from other binoculars. Quick reminder, as always, this review, like all reviews on this channel, is brought to you by Mindful Reviews. This is the online community platform I have built from scratch that's focused on non-sponsored, unbiased gear reviews. Members can participate in the reviews, request gear for reviews, buy raffle tickets, and lifetime members are entered into monthly draws for kick-ass hunting gear and prizes. So if you want to check it out, get some more information, or come over and join mindful-reviews.com. Now, while I don't have the Zeiss Victory SFs in my hand today, I own those binoculars for about 2 years, ton of field days, lots of hunts, lots of scouting. They were actually my favorite binocular before I moved to the NL Pure 12x42. And I would say if it weren't for the increased field of view on the NL Pures, the Victory SF are still my favorite binocular for color profile, clarity. I just really like Zeiss glass and my eyes feel very comfortable looking through Zeiss glass. So while I don't have them here in my hand today, I'm very comfortable with those binoculars and I've done two different reviews comparing those binoculars to other binoculars, which you can also find on my channel. But so I feel very comfortable comparing my experience with those binoculars with these binoculars here. I've had these binoculars for maybe 2 months now. I took them on two separate hunts. I took them on a Colorado mule deer hunt and I took them on a whitetail hunt in Saskatchewan. The mule deer hunt in particular provided a really valuable opportunity to test these out in the field, kind of in what I would consider the ideal use case for a pair of binoculars like this. I will get into my own personal experiences from that trip and what I learned about not only these binoculars in particular, but my own glassing strategy and what I am going to be taking for optics on different types of hunts moving forward. Okay, so before we dive into the comparative details, let's talk about these binoculars specifically. So as I already mentioned, these are the Zeiss SFL 10x40s. Now, a lot of people were kind of confused, like what family do they belong to? The Victory, the Conquest, etc. The answer is they don't. These don't belong in any of the pre-existing Zeiss families. However, I would say they live between the Victory SFs and the Conquest HDs. And we'll get into why I kind of place them in between those. And another piece of information that supports that classification is that the SF in Victory SF stands for Smart Focus. And this SF also stands for Smart Focus, but they stand for Smart Focus Light. So what Zeiss was trying to do was take the premium characteristics of the SF and put it in a smaller form factor. And so they've kind of nipped and tucked and made a couple executive decisions, you know, smaller package, lighter package, cheaper package, while still maintaining a pretty impressive, you know, optical performance. But as far as like how we should be looking at these binoculars or where these binoculars live, kind of in your mind, put them between the high-end Victory and the kind of mid-range Conquest. So let's dive right into the categories. Up first, we're going to look at price. So these binoculars retail for $1,800. There's been some sales recently, and all the prices we're going to use today are in USD. Now, if you look at my past binocular review, I had 6 pairs of binos. This would have been right in the middle. The NL Pures in that review came in at $3,370, and I was looking at some, you know, quite value-based binoculars in the Athlon and the Trax at $694. But to be kind of more comparative, the Conquests came in at $1,000, and if you wanted to go look at the Zeiss Victory SF 10x42s, they're currently priced at $3,000. So to put this in context, these binoculars are $1,200 US less expensive than the Victory SFs. Now, these binoculars weigh 22.6 ounces. And in the past review, these would have actually came in at the lightest out of all 6 pairs. The NL Pures were up at 31 ounces, the Conquests at 28.1 ounces, the Tract at 27.2 ounces, and even the lightest pair of binoculars in that review were the Leica Trinivids at 25.75 ounces. And the Zeiss Victory SFs weigh 27.8 ounces. So these binoculars are 5.2 ounces lighter than the Zeiss Victory SFs. So it should not be surprising that they are also shorter. These binoculars measure in at 5.7 inches long. The Victory SFs are 1.1 inches longer at 6.8. And again, if we look at the past review, we had binoculars going all the way from 5.5 inches to 6.3 inches. But the only binocular in that review that was shorter was the Leica Trinivid, shorter by 0.2 inches. So an incredibly compact, lightweight package. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that these binoculars, interestingly enough, are not technically made by Zeiss. So they are very clear on the hardware here that they are designed by Zeiss. And on the package, they say that they are made in Japan. So they must have, you know, some third-party manufacturers handling the manufacturing over there. However, kind of did a bit of a deep dive on the internet looking for reviews of these, specifically focusing on the birders because they do really good binocular reviews. And one of the things they noted is that there have been little to no QC issues with these particular models. I believe the Conquests are also made in Japan, and there have been lots of QC issues with Conquests. So again, I don't know if it's a different manufacturer entirely or they've reworked part of the manufacturing process, but while these are made in Japan, they have, I don't want to say European-like tolerances to the manufacturing, but they are incredibly high quality, and I have been not able to find any note on the web of people having to like return them or there being issues right out of the box or anything of that sort. Moving over to field of view, these measure 345 feet at 1,000 yards. The Victories come in at 360 feet. And I will say from a subjective experience, 15 feet in field of view is not noticeable whatsoever to the naked eye. So as far as you're concerned, when you're looking through the two binoculars, they're almost identical as far as field of view is concerned. And then if we want to see how these stack up in comparison to a larger field of binoculars, You know, the NL Pures came in at 399 feet. Now, they are a bit of an outlier. That is incredibly wide for a 12 power binocular. It's really one of the outstanding elements of the NL Pure. But the Conquests came in at 345, Tracked at 341, Trinavid at 339, Athlon at 338, and the Leica Noctavid at 336. So really, you only have a discrepancy of 336 feet to 345 feet across five pairs of binoculars if we ignore the outlier in the NL Pures. So the SFL are sitting right in there with the rest at 345. The question on everybody's mind, what glass is in these binoculars and what is kind of the optical viewing experience with these binoculars? So let's start with the technical elements first. So in the Zeiss SFL, we have a UHD lens, and in the Zeiss Victory SF, we have an ultra fluoride lens. And so these would be considered an ED lens as well, an extra low dispersion, but they are not fluoride containing. And that is really where you see glass kind of step apart. The real high-end super alpha glass will always have fluoride elements in the glass itself. And the more fluoride it has, the better the lens. You know, a lot of people would contest that Kawa has the best glass right now, and they use a pure fluorite crystal. And then down from that would be Swarovski, and they have an extremely high fluoride content. So really the major difference between the glass elements of the Victories and the SFLs is the lack of fluoride in the glass in the SFLs. However, that being said, they have the same field flattening elements and they still use the Zeiss T-Star coatings. So one of the other things they were able to do by moving the objectives from 42 millimeters to 40 millimeters, they were able to use slightly thinner lenses and they were able to move those closer together. So that may be another reason why they felt they were able to move from a fluoride lens. I think ultimately they were looking for a more value-based product than the Victory SFs. So they were able to shave off some price by moving from a fluoride lens to an ED lens. So that that's one element we kind of can't ignore. They would be, in that regards, inferior to the Victory SFs. Now, if we look at light transmission, the SFLs come in at 90 and the SFs come in at 92. Now, if we look at the Leica Noctavids, they are 91, the Trinavids are 90, the NL Pures are 91, and the Conquests are 90. So even the 92 of the Victories is quite high. And again, we're talking about percentage points. And I made this note on my last video, and I'd like to make it on this video as well. Transmission is not a be-all and end-all metric. Just because the number is higher doesn't always translate to a linear performance increase. Like, just because there's 2% more light transmission doesn't mean they're a 2% better binocular. But it is a piece of data that we do want to pay attention to. And the other element that I would bring up here between the SFLs and the SF is that the exit pupil on the SFL is 4 millimeters and the exit pupil on the Victories is 4.2. So a larger exit pupil gives you an ability to gather more light. Now there are trade-offs with larger exit pupils, but as far as low light performance goes, it's safe to say that the larger the exit pupil, the better the low light performance. But again, we're talking about a very minor discrepancy. We're going from 4 millimeters to 4.2 millimeters. Okay, so as far as data and metrics, that's really all we're going to look at. But what does that tell us? So essentially, we have a more affordable, lightweight package with extremely comparable glass, although maybe a small step down from the Victories. But what does that mean in terms of performance? Well, first off, I can't overstate how comfortable these binoculars are. Like, after walking around with my 12 power NL Pures for the last couple years, this almost feels like cheating. Like you barely feel that you have these in your hand. And when they're in your bino pouch, it's incredibly lightweight. Like I know it's only 5 or 6 ounces difference from the Victories, but if we look at the NL Pures, you're moving from 31 ounces to 22 ounces. That's 10 ounces. That's, you know, more than half a pound difference. And they're only a pound, they're less than a pound and a half to begin with. So you're talking about like a 30 to 35% decrease in weight. Now, while that's nice, does it provide a practical benefit? And my argument is absolutely. So one of the things I noticed right away is how stable these binoculars are. The handshake is quite low. And I think a big part of that is from the short package. So they have a really nice balance point. Like you don't feel like they're falling away from your face and you don't feel like they're falling towards your face. Like you hold them up to your face and it feels very natural and very comfortable. The weight is very well distributed and it's very compact. So it's very easy to hold it steady. Especially if you know, when I'm wearing a ball cap when I hunt, I like to do the thing where I pinch the ball cap with my two fingers and then I kind of pull the binos into my face while pulling the ball cap away. And it kind of gives me this third anchor point in addition to kind of my two eyebrows that the scope cups normally sit on. And when I do that, these things lock right in, man. Next up, I'd like to discuss the focusing. So there's some elements of Zeiss focusing that I'm not always the biggest fan. I think they nailed this one. So the other element of this smart focus is that you don't actually have a wide range of wheel movement. I think there's 1.5 rotations in general. So what that means is relatively small movements of the focus wheel give you a relatively large impact as far as the focus distance from the objective. And you might think that would be a problem because it would be a very coarse focus adjustment. But I think because the resistance is so nice, like it just feels like it's buttery smooth, it's firm, but not too firm. And my Victories were like this as well. And they're even better than the NL Pures in this regard. But there is something about the Zeiss's ability to snap focus. And if you do a ton of glass, you're gonna know what I mean. When something comes into focus, you have no doubt it's in focus. When you kind of doubt yourself, you end up pulling focus past an object and then racking it back. And then it's like once you've had it in focus, lost it, and brought it back, you're like, okay, now it's in focus. With these binoculars, I found myself doing that significantly less. I would give a slight rotation of the focus knob and I would just immediately feel confident that I was focused. Like it would just snap into place. And I don't know the technical rationale for this, but I've talked about this before in another podcast, and that's kind of like the depth of field, which is how much of your visible area is in focus at once. The shallower your depth of field gets, which is basically the less kind of linear distance that would be, you know, let's say you were looking at a line going down the road. If a little bit of that line was in focus, you would have a shallow depth of field. If you could get hundreds of yards of that line to be in focus at the same time, you would have a large depth of field. Now, a nice thing about a large depth of field is that it's very easy to put things in focus, but you don't get contrast. And that's like when you shoot, when you see those really beautiful portraits that have the very blurry background, it's called bokeh, that's because there's a shallow depth of field. So you're able to bring a person's face into focus while leaving everything else out of focus. I think Zeiss has really hit that like Goldilocks zone of having just enough area in focus that you can still isolate items, but not having it so small that you find yourself racking focus past and back in order to really get things into focus. So that was one of the things I noticed right away. That just from a usability perspective, super light, put them up to your face, super stable, little crank of the focus wheel, comes into focus super fast. Very impressive in that regard. I will say, I'm also not sure how to define this next characteristic, but like it also didn't hurt. I was in Colorado and there's a lot of deer in Colorado. But I was picking up a lot of animals. Like, I just had a lot of confidence that if there were animals in my field of view, I was finding them with this with these binoculars. I think a lot of that has to do with color separation. One of the things I've noticed with my NL Pures is that they, while they're very clear and they provide a high level of detail, the coloring can be a little flat at times. So you don't get a great distinction between some of the colors. And for me, I find the color profile of Zeiss to be a little more vivid. And when the colors are a little more vivid, you know, the difference between the dirt in the background and the ear of a deer, even though they're both brown, they're different browns. And when you have a more vivid color profile, those browns are more separated and your eye picks up on them a little bit better. So I just noticed that about halfway through the hunt. I'm like, man, I'm very confident in these binos. Like, I'm finding stuff. And I think that really boils down to the superior color profile that Zeiss has nailed. So before I get into my final recommendation, I want to tell you some learnings that I took away from this hunt. You know, quite a few years ago, I started out with two pairs of binos and a spotting scope. Like, I was lucky enough to go on some kind of like truck-based hunts in Arizona where you're walking up to go glassing every day, so you don't really care how many optics you're taking with you. And I would have a pair of 10s on my chest, a pair of 15s on a tripod, and a spotting scope on a tripod. And for instance, when you're glassing for coos deer in Arizona, you know, 15s, you know, my buddies who are guides down there call Saguaro SLC 15s the coos killers. Because there's something about the wide field of view, having both eyes. Like, spotting scope provides you more detail, but you lose field of view, and sometimes you get a little myopic because you're looking at very small areas. And spotting scopes are great for things 1-2 miles away, but when you're looking at stuff like, you know, 1/4 to 3/4 of a mile away, 15s really shine. So after I did my podcast with Robbie, I thought to myself, I want to try this again. And I'm going to be doing a lot of hiking from the truck, so I can afford the weight penalty of taking two pairs of binos. And I was taking a 66 millimeter spotting scope, the Kawa, which is significantly lighter than my 95 millimeter Harpia from Zeiss. So I was like, I'm probably going to be carrying about the same amount of weight anyways. I forgot. And then I borrowed a pair of my buddy's SLC 15s, which they're funny. They used to be my SLC 15s, and I sold them to him maybe 3 years ago now. I forgot how much I loved those 15 power binoculars. You can glass through them forever. And so I had these 10s on my chest, I had the 15s on tripod, and then I had my 66 spotter on tripod if I needed it. And I was so impressed with that setup. It's like, for a lot of my hunts, I'm going to be moving back to that setup. I'm not sure which 15s I'm going to land on right now. I think it's a great opportunity for kind of a big glass category-wide review where I get 5 or 6 pairs of 15s. And then some guys are even making 18s now, so I'm not really sure where to draw the line. But it also means I need to pick up another small pair of binos because I have my 12 NL Pures, but they're not. If you've already got 15s in your pouch, you might as well have a smaller, lighter, wider field of view pair of binos on your chest. So for instance, I would still, on a sheep hunt, I would still take, because you know, weight is your ultimate priority and you're not doing a lot of still hunting, I would still take my 12 NL Pures and a spotting scope. But for a lot of these other hunts where I have the opportunity to either be hiking in from a truck or I'm going to be doing a lot of still hunting where having access to smaller binos on your chest is a real advantage, I'm going to be moving back to the 2-bino, 1-spotter kind of setup. So that got me thinking, well, what small binos am I going to run? Which was another reason why I wanted to test these out. I've been so impressed with these, where they sit in the price range, where they sit in the quality range. They have a pair of 8x40s that I think I'm 99% sure that's what I'm going to pick up for my chest bino. Again, they're going to be even lighter than this. They're still going to provide the same optical quality performance. So I'm 99% sure that I am going to pick up a pair of 8x40 SFLs for my chest bino to work in conjunction with some pair of 15s or 18s on a tripod. I'm actually going to New Mexico for a mule deer hunt in 3 weeks. And so I'm kind of like on the fence as to what pair of binos I'm going to take on that hunt. Small side note, I've just started a range-finding binocular review, and I might take one of those just so I can get some more time with it in the field. But anyways, what does that mean for my recommendation for you? Again, being that price is the ultimate, you know, driver for how most people look at optics, let's go back and see where these sit. So if we go from most expensive to least expensive, got NL Pures at almost $3,400, Noctavids and Victories at $3,000, Trinivids at $1,000, Conquest at $1,000, and Trax and Athlons at $500 to $700. So you can see again with the Trinivids and the Conquests coming in at $1,000 and the Noctavids and the Victories coming in at $3,000, these guys sitting at $1,800 are right in the middle. And here's what I'm gonna say. You are looking at about a 40% price discount from $3,000 down to $1,800. There's no way you're looking at a 40% performance downgrade. In fact, I might argue that because they're lighter and I think provide a slightly better offhand glassing performance, I'm not even sure you have that much of a performance downgrade at all. Like, I would have, with, put it this way, with the NL Pures coming in at $3,400 and the Victories coming in at $3,000, if you're gonna spend $3,000 on the Victories, just go get the NL Pures for an extra $400, because the NL Pures are significantly better than the Victories in almost all characteristics, not all of them. And there are still some people who would prefer the Victory, and I'm not gonna argue with you because I do think you, that is an argument that you could stand by. Like, they're a very good binocular. But if we're gonna go by the data, and for my preference, you know, the NL is better and it's only an extra $400. That being said, if you were on the fence about spending $3,000 on a pair of binoculars, you can get these for $1,800, and these are significantly better than the Conquests. They're significantly better than the Trinivids. All those kind of binoculars that live in that like $900 to $1,100 range, like that's what we used to have, this kind of like mid value range at $900 to $1,100. And then we go up to the Alpha Glass premium, you know, blow your cash, $3,000 and up range. And there's not a whole lot that lives in the middle. That's where these guys sit right here. So I don't wanna, I'm not gonna go on and talk circles around myself, but that would be my recommendation. I would be really hard pressed right now to tell somebody to buy Noctavids or Victories, because these guys are damn near the same performance and are significantly less money. Now, before everybody makes in the comments, I think the exception to all of this will be the Swarovski ELs, because the ELs have come down in price significantly since they launched the NLs. The ELs also represent a really high value proposition in that upper Alpha Glass kind of range, because I would say the ELs, the Noctavids, and the Victories are all the same. But right now, the ELs are like $400 or $500 less than either of those. So you kind of move from the Conquest and the Trinivid up to the SFL, up to the EL, up to the Noctavid Victory, up to the NL Pure. And those are your different categories. So it's really a matter of how much money you want to spend. But if you're in the market for new binos, I think archery guys are going to love these things, man. Like a pair of eights, like that's my thing. I'm doing a lot of archery hunting these days, primarily archery hunting. A pair of these at 8 power around my neck, phenomenal. All right, guys, there you have it. Another comparative review brought to you by Mindful Reviews. So if you have any questions, please don't hesitate. Drop them in the comments section below. As usual, if you could help the algorithm along and kind of boost this video up the feed, like, comment, share, subscribe, that would be greatly appreciated. Another quick reminder, if you want to come join a community that has been founded around unbiased, non-sponsored gear reviews, mindful-reviews.com. Participate in reviews, participate in gear raffles. Lifetime members qualify to win prizes every single month. It's a fantastic opportunity. So thank you for taking the time. Let me know if you got any questions. And as always, thank you for tuning in.